Oh, fantastic. That's Dr. Feelgood and Roxette. And on the line now, it's Kevin Morris from Dr. Feelgood. Hi, Kevin.
Hello there.
Yeah, we're having a bit of problem communicating, aren't we? Can you hear me okay? Oh, good. I'm glad to hear it. Right. Now, I'd just like to start off. I did a bit of research looking around the internet, and I ended up on Amazon,
right.
And I came across a review of the double CD, 25 Years of Dr. Feelgood. But so this is a customer review from a fan,
right.
And it's actually nothing to do with the CD, because he says, I saw this brilliant, crazy, manic mob 7 or 8 times with different lineups, and never once left the venue without a big beaming smile and drenched in sweat, always superb live, always great value for money. They never left anything behind, gave their all at every show I was at. To call them just a pub rock band does them a massive injustice. They were and are an ultra professional rock and roll R&B outfit. How about that?
What a splendid fellow. Like proper PR stuff, isn't it?
Well, it could be. I mean, does that pub rock label bother you?
Not really, because it's not really used very much nowadays.
Yeah.
You know, and it refers to a very short space of time.
Yep.
But it's the other sentiments expressed in that review, I think, pretty much sum up what we do and what we, you know, how we go on every night and play our very best and come off having done, you know, the best we can to give everybody a great show.
Absolutely. Now, I know you're going to be touring, and I've had a look down at the list of dates you've got, and I also discovered that you and I were born in the same year, and
right.
To be honest with you, I don't know how you do it. Do you have to go in training for this?
No, but I do admit to getting tired now.
Yeah.
I never used to, but I do, you know... Staying up past my bedtime and making a racket, you know.
Yeah.
I require a little snooze in the afternoon sometimes.
Okay, so it all kicks off tomorrow in Bishop Stortford. Mm-hmm. And you're touring for the rest of the year, basically, aren't you?
Yeah, in fact, we've already been to France and Finland.
Oh, have you? Right.
But we start over here tomorrow in Bishop Stortford, and then we carry on through to the end of the month. Then we're back out to France, then we're back here in May, and then in the summer we do sort of festivals all over the place.
Right,
and
yeah.
And then solid touring again from October down to Christmas.
Yeah, and you're back and forward to Europe all the time this
year,
aren't you?
Yeah, we're always somewhere.
Do you get a big reaction in Europe?
Yeah, absolutely. No, we're very lucky. The music sort of translates pretty much into anywhere we go.
Yeah, brilliant. And a couple of weeks' time, you're close to home at the Palace Theatre in Westcliff on the 20th of March.
We are. In fact, it's the one night of the year I can walk to work if I want to.
But I'm guessing the really big one for local fans will be in November, when you got 2 dates at the Oyster Fleet in Canvey.
Yeah, well, that's a weekend, and you tend to get people that come from out of town. They stay over at the hotel for the weekend.
Ah, yeah.
And then on the Saturday night, we do a show which all the locals come to as well, so... That's quite good fun, the weekend.
Yeah, sounds like it.
Yeah.
I read that when you're off touring abroad, you make a point of sampling the local cuisine.
We do. I mean, that's how we learnt all the things that we love. We learnt from just, you know, going out on the road and saying to the promoters, we'll eat where the locals eat and we'll eat what they eat, you know.
Sure. So what will you be eating after your gig at Canvey, then?
Probably fish and chips.
Yeah, gotta be, isn't it? Yeah. What about the band? Are you doing any recording at the moment?
We're not doing anything as a group. We've got a sort of a half-finished project, like an unplugged kind of thing that we started and then we've left, and we should go back and finish it, I suppose. But unless we've, you know, I always say, unless you've got your mojo, you don't want to be doing it. And at the moment, we're very busy touring.
Yeah, you're concentrating on that.
What we need is to spend some time in the studio to relax and finish off that project and maybe work on some new songs.
Yeah, totally get that. Now, you've been the drummer in Dr. Feelgood for more than 30 years. How did you join up?
Lee phoned me on a Sunday. I used to play in an embryonic version of the group when I was still at school.
Right.
It was called the Wild Bunch then, with Lee and Sparko. And... So I've known Lee, for, you know, since school days, but he phoned me up on a Sunday and said, you're starting on Wednesday night at Dingwalls.
And you've been there ever since.
I've been there ever since, yeah.
Okay, do you want to talk about drumming for a minute, if we may? It's very primal drumming, isn't it? And some drummers have a reputation for being a bit quirky and mad. Do you suffer with that?
Well, I think anybody that gets paid for smashing something hard for 90 minutes, you know, you have to expect that we might be a little bit high when we come off the stage.
Sure, yeah.
Take a little bit of time to calm down.
Yeah.
But it's great fun. I always maintain everybody should have a drum kit.
Oh, yes. Yeah, yeah, sounds good, yeah. So what first inspired you to play the drums?
The Who, Keith Moon of The Who. I saw him and thought he looked like he was having such fun.
Oh, yes.
The way to go.
One of my heroes, Keith Moon. Yeah, absolutely. Now, you've always been a live act, and obviously, as we said, you've got this great big tour coming up. Do you still enjoy it, or do you reach a point where you think, oh, I wish I could go home now and pack it in?
No, I very much enjoy the release that you get from playing every night.
Yep.
I mean, there are always times when we used to do much longer tours, you know, maybe on a Sunday when you've been in Australia and New Zealand, you've been away for 5 weeks, you know, you might sort of think, I wish I was at home with my feet up.
Absolutely.
But we don't do such long tours now. And so we do get a chance to unwind.
Yeah, and you get a few days off now and again, don't
you? Absolutely.
Yeah. Okay. What about venues? Do you like a great big crowd or a nice intimate gig?
Well, both.
Yeah.
Some of the best shows we've ever done have happened in quite sort of intimate spaces. But at the same time, you get a lot of energy from playing to a big crowd.
Right.
You know, they give off a lot, and then you can give it back. So.
Yeah.
I don't want to sound too sort of too bonkers, but yeah, if you do get a lot of energy from the crowd.
Sure. And of course, I mean, the history of the band is well documented. It's been a bit of a turbulent one. Do you all get on well nowadays?
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, we get on with all the ex-members. We see everybody, and I see Sparko's local to me, so I see him around. And Wilco, I saw Wilco yesterday morning in Lee Broadway.
Oh, really? How's he doing?
He's fine.
Good.
He's done him. I mean, you know, having been given a death sentence.
I know.
And told that he was terminally ill. I mean, he's been given a clean bill now. They've cut him open and taken out lots of stuff, and he seems to be doing just fine. He starts playing again at the end of the month.
Amazing. That's an amazing story, isn't
Absolutely.
It? Unbelievable. Okay, want to go back a little bit. Now, you've worked with one of my heroes. You worked in a soul band with Edwin Starr, didn't you?
I did, yes. I did a couple of tours with Edwin.
Right. Well, do you know what? I first became a big fan of Edwin Starr when I saw him playing at, believe it or not, the Dagenham Town Show.
Oh, right.
About 23 years ago.
Yeah.
I think that was probably after you left.
I was playing with him in my teens.
Right.
I was in the soul band when I was 18, 19, 20.
Okay. Well, you know, Dagenham Town...
He'd had his hits. He'd had War and SOS, and he was a very nice man and a great showman.
Yes, yeah. Well, it was a brilliant show. I couldn't believe it, and everybody just loved it. Well, you know, you've played drums in soul bands, basically.
I was in a seven-piece soul band, which we augmented from time to time.
Yeah.
And we backed American soul artists touring the UK.
Right.
So the first one I did was Sam and Dave, which was a great learning curve.
Wow.
As you can imagine.
Yes.
And they brought their own trombone player, as the MD, so... We did their tour. It was a 40-date tour and some recording for the BBC, and then they would go back and somebody else would turn up, would have a couple of days rehearsal and then go on tour again.
Fantastic.
And it was constant for about 2 years.
Yeah. So, I mean, what did you get from playing with these guys? Has it sort of influenced your playing today?
Well, obviously, the kind of smart arrangements that they employ, but really it was just the professional attitude, you know, that they exuded professionalism.
Yeah.
And that was gained from years of doing the Chitlin' circuit in the States.
Right, okay.
And I think, in a way, we were doing the same thing because we toured constantly. And there's no experience that you can gain greater than playing live.
Absolutely.
You know, a live show is worth sort of a dozen rehearsals.
Yes, fantastic. Okay, so it's been Dr. Feelgood for, what, 32 years now, hasn't it? Mm-hmm. How much has the music business changed over that time?
Oh, immensely.
Yeah.
I mean... We barely recognise it from when we started. It's completely different now.
Yeah. I mean, they all say there's more money in touring than recording now, don't they? Yeah.
There appears to be.
Yeah.
Certainly for the big acts with the big ticket.
Yeah, yeah.
But, I mean, let's not forget they spend an awful lot on the production of those big shows.
Right, yes. Yeah, absolutely. And going back to your gigs, who are your audience these days? Do you get a wide range of ages attending?
We do. We get people that the group for many, many years, and we get people that are coming for the first time.
Fantastic.
Sometimes people come because they had their older brother's record collection or their mum and dad. We get people that come with their mum and dad.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it's quite interesting talking to people.
Yeah, amazing. Yeah, okay. Now, back in January, Dr. Feelgood released Adventures at the BBC. It was a double album of 51 tracks spanning 30 years. Were you involved much in that release?
Well, no. Stephen Foster from BBC Sussex. Yeah, Sussex isn't the one up at Ipswich, yes. Fozzie, he put it together, and we just gave him all the material that we had, and he arranged it into the order that he felt, you know, comfortable with. There was some live stuff, and there's some studio stuff.
Yeah.
So there's two different discs,
yeah.
One live, one studio.
Nice collection. And you've been involved in another project as well and released an album recently. Shame and Spirits, We Are Infants. Can you tell us about that? Tell us.
Well, it's just there were some songs that I'd written that weren't really suitable for Dr. Feelgood.
Right.
So I created Shame and Spirits as a nom de plume and put out the tracks as a couple of covers and seven of my own songs. It was great fun to do, and I was very pleased with the result.
And you had some very good musicians on that as
absolutely,
well, didn't you?
Absolutely, yeah. That helps.
Yeah, 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 absolutely. Well, thanks, Kevin. It's been great to talk to you today. Good luck with all that touring.
Thank you. Enjoy
all those after-show meals, won't you?
I certainly will.
The website, if anyone wants to have a look, it's drfeelgood.org, isn't it?
Correct.
Ah, good. Okay. Well, as I say, fantastic to talk to you. You're going to hear a couple of tracks now from Dr. Feelgood. It's Back in the Night and Milk and Alcohol.